Hey everybody, I'm Jen. I'm an alcoholic. Who's going to tell me how much time I have? Anybody? Okay. Oh, awesome. So thanks, Nick, for sharing. And I love what you share because I also got sober at this YPG, actually. Not here, but used to be at a church in South Tampa where Saturday Night Fever is. And, you know, I'm so grateful that I got sober in this group because a couple things that it taught me that I carry with me to this day is that you show up no matter what. I mean, I had like no discipline when I got here. And I was a little scared of my sponsor, and she used to tell me, I don't care, obviously, unless it's some crazy life emergency, but if you say you're gonna be somewhere, that you show up. And I will tell you, not only has that helped me in my recovery, but personally, professionally, anytime I say I'm going to be somewhere, I'm there. And I was definitely not capable of doing that before. And obviously, sponsorship, that's been, as far as service goes in AA, my favorite thing to do. So I am very grateful to this meeting. I'm super nervous. I probably will cry because that's just where I'm at right now. So, you know, it is what it is. So just a little bit about, you know, what it was like. So just go over the same stuff. You know, I'm from Pinellas County, came from a great family, always felt a gaping hole in myself. And that's not why I'm an alcoholic, but I'm sure it contributed to that. I'm kind of really starting to look at that again in therapy, which is super fun, but it's still there, you know, big gaping hole. And I just always remember like feeling like I was on the outside, like I didn't fit in, which is so crazy because I was talking to my brother a couple weeks ago about this gaping hole that I have and feeling like no one likes me and I don't fit in. And he's like, that's so crazy because when we were younger, I used to like see how popular you were and wish that I could have that. And like, that's not my memory. You know, my memory is always feeling like on the outside. And I think just my personality, I'm just sort of like a rebel without a cause, you know, truly. I really didn't have any cause to be rebellious. It just, I don't know. It was just what I was drawn to, I guess. I was always drawn to like doing the wrong thing and, you know, that crowd of people. So I don't know when I drank first. Like I probably used drugs before I drank, but I really started partying a little bit when I was 14, but like really started when I was 16. You know, I was in public school and I had gotten actually kicked out of private school of Shorecrest in St. Pete. I made it like the first semester of ninth grade. I got kicked out. I went to public school, which is where I always wanted to go. And immediately, it's like we're just drawn like with a magnet to each other, you know, immediately found the people who were doing what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do, but I knew it was like not go to school, not listen to my parents. And so we just, you know, I think like the first day I was there, I found a crew and we skipped school and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But when I was about 16, my partying really began. And, you know, I hung out with people who like drank and smoked weed and everything, like a lot, probably more than just the weekends. But it was crazy because I'm like, we were kids and we were like smoking weed every day and drinking probably almost every day. And, you know, I don't remember the first time I drank feeling like this overwhelming sense of, you know, I have arrived or anything like that. It was maybe like a slow arrival over time, but I knew I just never wanted to feel like where I was, you know? And so, sorry, I'm nervous. I'm like shaking. Okay, so 16, my party started getting like really out of hand. A lot of, my partying has never really been fun. It's always actually been pretty dark, you know? There's a lot of drugs in my story, so I'm just gonna really do my best to keep it on alcohol. So 16 was when it really started. Barely graduated high school. They had to put me in this like special program in order for me to pass. And you know, it was always like, I'm not smart enough. I just never applied myself. I was always full of fear that if I actually did apply myself, it would prove my point that I am not smart, I am not good enough. I had this like crazy change of heart when I turned 18. I went to community college and I was like, I'm quitting smoking cigarettes. I'm not doing drugs. Like, we're going to go to college. And my parents were shocked that I was like going to college. They thought it was the craziest thing. They never thought. And in that time in my life, I remember though, we were drinking a lot when I put everything down, you know, just drinking, driving, reckless, all the stuff. And so I was like pretty good. And then up until maybe I was 19 and I started working at this nightclub. I don't know if anyone's like from around here, but Liquid Blue on Clearwater Beach. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but it was pretty wild. I started working there and I was around older people and they were doing things that I had not done before. And I just remember feeling so out of place in that group. You know, I felt like none of them really liked me or cared if I was there or if I wasn't there. And so I just wanted to fit in, you know? And I was always drinking powerlessly. I mean, always. I would tell myself, we're not going to do this tonight, or we're going to stop at 2 a.m. and we're going to go home. And pretty much every time I drank, it never turned out like that. And I meant it, you know? Like, I'd be up for 3 days the weekend before. I would pass a lie detector test telling you I would never do that again. And then I would do it again. And I was quite often baffled at myself. But I didn't know anything about recovery or AA. So, you know, just kind of kept going like that. It always starts with I met a guy. So I met a guy and he was into stuff that I hadn't done. And so that got real bad. And basically, from like 23 to 27, it was dark, you know, very, we all know it, like, I don't have to get into everything, but, you know, pretty much gave up any opportunity I would have. I was in college, but like, hanging on by a thread, and the only reason I stayed is so I could show my parents I was doing something. I, you know, had to move back in with my parents. It was just very dark. So anyways, at 27, I wanted to die every single day. And I really would have been, I think, okay with that. And I'm surprised that I hadn't. And I just knew I wanted to do something different. I didn't know really what that meant. But, you know, obviously I told my parents. And so we started looking at treatment centers and, you know, so I go to detox, then I go to treatment, and I get out of detox, and like, I'm not really feeling great, and I didn't really know what to expect, and so my entry into treatment was really rough, and it was pretty much for the first probably week, me telling the staff I needed to go to the hospital because my back hurt, and calling my parents and telling, cussing them out and telling them to come pick me up, and you don't know where you put me, and you know, I mean, the truth is I was just dying to drink. Like, for the first time in many years, I was drawing a sober breath, and it was terrifying because I didn't know how to do anything sober. I mean, nothing. Like, just laundry, like, I don't know. I don't know how to do anything sober. When I started feeling better, so I remember, like, you know, in the treatment center, the 12 steps were on the wall, and I didn't know, like I said, anything about AA, but I saw that it talked about a spiritual program. And, like, I always definitely knew that there was something out there. I didn't grow up religious. I'm Jewish, but we weren't religious. But I was often having like an existential crisis. I mean, I definitely knew that there was something, but I had no idea how to access it or like what to do with it. And so I kind of got down with that. I was like, I can get down with that. You know, I can see that I have like a gaping spiritual malady, you know? And so it feels like it happened really fast. It probably didn't, but I went from like calling my parents, cussing them out to, I remember opening the big book and was like blown away. I was like, this is exactly word for word how I feel. And I had no idea that people felt that way. So it was really cool. So then I'm like calling them, reading them passages out of the book. I'm like, oh my God, you gotta listen to this. You know, it was wild. And I feel like I got filled up very quickly with hope. And I had never had hope in my life. And I'm really, really grateful for that. So I got out of treatment, and I think I had already had, I can't remember. Actually, no, Annie was my first real sponsor. So pretty much when I was like brand new out of treatment, I got with her, and she was part of YPG. And I mean, I didn't have any friends. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I drank alone. Like, I did not have friends. I wasn't out partying. I mean, I remember leaving treatment, and like, I had a flip phone, you know, cell phone, not one person. And I was gone for 90 days. Not one person like reached out to me, you know? So having friends was just this whole new thing for me. And I mean, I just followed them everywhere they went, you know? Like, we did dinner every night and a meeting, you know, every night, and so many different activities, and I just loved it. I mean, I really, for the first time, remember thinking, holy shit, I could actually have a real life, you know? God, I don't know why I'm still nervous. I'm shaking like a leaf. Okay. So, you know, life got good really fast. I'm going to start crying. I don't know why. you know, my life went like this for the first 8 years I was sober. Sorry, my sobriety date is April 16th of 2020. I don't know why I'm even crying right now. I'm not talking about anything that emotional. So, you know, I met my to-be husband very early on in sobriety. However, I always put AA first. I had my own group of girlfriends. I did the girl thing. Like, I'm a girl's girl, so, you know. And I always knew you need to have your own AA, because, like, God forbid anything ever happened. But, you know, we, like, graduated college. We got married. We bought a house. Like, it was just good, good, good. So I hadn't really dealt. I didn't know who I was in sobriety going through anything, really. Like, I hadn't been through anything the first 8 years. So we ended up, you know, he was doing a lot of cheating, and obviously we got divorced, and I, you know, I still wonder about this, because I did everything that AA asked, and when all that happened, I fell apart, you know, and I, like, could not recover, and I don't think I knew how much emotional, like, trauma that had caused, because I just kind of pushed it down, you know. I remember every day just saying, like, keep it moving. Like, we literally just have to put one foot in front of the other. And I got into, like, a very toxic relationship a couple years later, which just added to the chaos and the trauma and all that fun stuff. And probably when I was, like, 11 years sober, I mean, I was miserable. I really wanted to die, you know. I really was not having fun with life anymore. I felt extremely alone. I was depressed. I just felt, and it's probably like my fault, because I don't recall and I don't know if I was like really, really honest with people about how dark it was for me. And so if I can, share anything, I would say, like, you gotta let people know how dark it is, you know? And I kind of started pulling away from AA because I was just like, nothing's working. You know, I would do steps with my sponsor, and I was sponsoring all these women and, you know, home group and all the things. And I was going to this, like, Buddhist community center, and it wasn't working. And I didn't purposefully relapse. Like, I didn't go out or anything with that intention. But I just knew I would, you know. I'm like, you're writing the book of a relapse. You're pulling back from your sponsor. You're pulling back from AA. You're miserable. So, like, I just knew, of course, you're going to relapse at some point, you know. And that's what happened. And it was, like, right when COVID started. It was super short and, like, uneventful. There's nothing really much to say about it. It was, like, a couple weeks or something. And so, you know, nobody was going to meetings. And so I was like, God, I can't just, like, sit in my house and try to get sober again. What am I going to do? So I went to Riverside for just, like, a couple weeks just to be around other people, you know, and have recovery and whatever. And it was actually, like, really awesome, because I went in there. And so, and I'm always going to say this when I share from the podium now. that my old sponsor had encouraged me to go to therapy. And she told me, I don't think AA can fix what's going on with you. And I was very reluctant because, you know, for my whole sobriety, like, AA does fix a lot of stuff, you know, that's not, like, alcohol related. You know, you get sober, it can fix a lot of things. But she's like, you know, I don't think that this is going to fix. And I just didn't want to do it. I don't know if I just didn't want to, like, face it or whatever the probably that, you know, I just didn't want to unpack everything. And so I knew when I got to Riverside that, like, I had a lot of work to do. And I, you know, loved my therapist there. And I told her, if you don't give me all the work that you can, like, I'm going to die. And so I did apparently 45 days of work in, like, 2.5 weeks. I was not messing around. And then I did therapy for about a year after. And, you know, I was feeling better. But I don't know. In the last 4 years, like, I still don't feel like I have my, like, mojo back, you know? And that's just the honest truth. I have a really beautiful life. I mean, I am blessed beyond measures with the friends I have, and my family is extremely close. But that gaping hole is still there. And you know, I know, like, I want to stay sober. You know, I do not want to drink again. And so I get really scared that, like, if I don't figure this out, I'm going to drink again. So, like, my sobriety looks very different this time around. I used to sponsor, like, 5, 6, 7 girls, and I was at, like, a meeting every night, and, like, AA, queen of AA, you know? And it's just not like that anymore. I can't. I travel during the week for work. I'm not really here a lot. I have one woman I sponsor right now. I mean, I would definitely sponsor more, but I don't have the time to do it how I used to do it. And so sometimes I feel like I'm not doing it right, you know, but it's just what I can do. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just looked different, and it's been so drilled into my head, I guess, that, like, AA guilt of, you know, I'm not sponsoring 10 women, and, like, I don't have 8 service positions, and, you know, I'm not a good AA, and I just have to get over that, you know, and I've had a lot of people tell me I just have to get over that. But I will talk a little bit about therapy, because for me, like I said, I will always tell people that AA will not fix everything. And so I recently started it again, and that's been really interesting. But I know that this, like, there, it's this hole that even spirituality can't totally fill. And I'm trying to figure out why, you know? And, you know, it's probably because I don't really, like, fully love myself. It's hard, you know? It's just like a constant peeling of the onion. Like, I did all this work my first year, you know? And I'm like, oh, yes, like, I'm doing the work. I'm good. And then, you know, more keeps getting revealed. And, you know, life just doesn't look like what I thought it would. And I am okay with that. I am okay with that, honestly. But yeah, I don't know. The human mind is wild, you know, but, like, I am, so, this might be super short. How much time do I have left? 20 minutes. This is crazy. I don't know why. I just feel like I don't have, this is just what I have to say right now, you know. It might not be that inspiring. I've struggled a lot with spirituality this time around. I feel like when I first got sober, I was like, I don't know, I was just like connected, you know what I mean? Super, super connected. And so it's been a little bit of a struggle getting back there. You know, I'm doing the things that I need to do, but, you know, I almost just feel constantly like I'm new again, you know? And I don't know if this is, like, totally uninspiring. I don't mean for it to be like that, but I'm just going to be real, you know? If I would have come up here at 11 years sober, it would have been a very different story. And, like, I don't know why I'm crying this whole time. I got a lot going on. That therapy session really messed me up yesterday. I haven't stopped crying since. You know, but like ultimately I am so grateful for AA, because I, at the end of the day, I would have nothing if I wasn't sober. And that's the truth, because I am like a disgusting animal when I'm out there. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. Even my friends have been like, I would not want to party with you. I really am. Like, I'm not fun. I don't make friends. And so I do, you know, I do remember thinking like, wow, you know, I always wanted to have a normal life. Like, I'd be up all night partying and watching people go to work. And I'd be like, God, how do they do that? Like, how do they literally get up and go to work every day and just be normal? And I hated myself because I was not like a partier who's like, woo, you know, who just like let it all rip. I always had guilt. Like, I always knew what I was doing was not right, and that I felt like this can't be it. Like, this can't be, you know, what I've been put on earth to do. And I wanted a normal life. Like, I wanted a career. I wanted to graduate college. I wanted to do all those things. And I was blown away. I mean, I was hanging on by a thread in college before I got sober, and I graduated with like a 4.0. I'm like, oh, it's not that hard. You just have to be like sober and like go to class. You know, I'm not as dumb as I thought I was. And, you know, just these milestones in my career that I never thought I would get to. And, you know, I know that it's all because I'm sober, because I don't like do anything a little bit, you know, I do all of it or I do none of it. And, I don't know, life is just interesting. Like, more will be revealed, you know. I don't want to just keep blabbing if I feel like, you know, I'm kind of done. So, you know, thank you for listening.